Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, the Blackhawks will start up tomorrow with a first-round seven-game series against our rival, the St. Louis Blues. What an up-and-down season for the Hawks. I mean, with winning streaks, then losing streaks, injuries, everything in between. But all that doesn't matter anymore because the Stanley Cup playoffs are here. And you can listen to all the games right here on 720 WGN. Judd Surratt will do the pre and post. Troy Murray will do color. And the play-by-play duties will be done by my guest tonight at the big table, John Weideman. John's wrapping up his 10th season in the radio booth for the Blackhawks. He did the call for all three Stanley Cups, like last year.
Shaw falls down, can't clear. A shot from the far corner by Johnson. Turn wide by Crawford. 7 seconds left. Six, now five, in behind the net. Taves swings it around. Oh, and all the way down the ice it goes. For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Chicago Blackhawks have won the Stanley Cup. Lord Stanley, the Blackhawks organization, along with the greatest fans in all of hockey, welcome you back to your new home, Chicago, Illinois, in the US of A.
Gives you chills just listening to John Weideman, who before Chicago had stops in New York and Philly, among other places. John Weideman, It's a pleasure to have you at the big table tonight here on The Download.
It's my pleasure to be here. Wow, this is quite a setup.
You know, when you hear that, I mean, this is your 10th season with the Blackhawks. I mean, do you recognize anniversaries like that?
I know how long I've been here. I do for sure. But truthfully, these have been probably the 10 greatest years of my career, without question. I mean, being able to come back to Chicago, and I say back because I was here once before, but being able to come back here and to not only do what I love to do, which is, you know, call play-by-play of hockey, whether it be radio or TV, but for the team that I love, the Chicago Blackhawks, and at the same time take care of my family. I mean, it's all good. It's not going to get better.
I read somewhere that your love of hockey came from watching Blackhawks games in Kansas in the 60s. Is that true?
The first game I ever saw of any kind of hockey, I was in my buddy Jerry's basement. He was my best friend, and I was a young lad. I can't remember, 7, 8 years old. And we were just messing around in the basement, and Jerry says, come on, let's go upstairs. I said, yeah, okay. And I walked behind him, and I remember turning to my left and seeing his TV on in the basement. Black and white TV, okay, some of our listeners are going to be able to relate to this. I think the year was like 1965. It was in the winter, and I remember it was a Sunday afternoon, and I looked at the TV, and a hockey game was playing. And it was between the Chicago Blackhawks and the Montreal Canadiens at the old stadium. And Jerry had just sort of slipped upstairs. He didn't know I wasn't following him anymore. I stood in front of that TV set for probably 45 minutes watching that game. And from that moment on, I was hooked. And it's the irony there is that it was the Blackhawks and the Montreal Canadiens playing at the old stadium, a place where I would end up spending who knows how many nights and how many thousands of dollars. But I had just pretty much fallen in love with the team at that point, and now it's become a lifelong thing.
Well, let's take us back 10 years ago. I mean, obviously you're working in a different market. What brought you to Chicago? I mean, was it an easy decision when the job opened up?
It was actually a really difficult kind of a decision, but here's how it happened. The circumstances, it's funny how life is. Circumstances are presented to you at the time, and you look back on those 20 years later and say, wow, I can't believe I made that decision or this. We were living on Long Island. We had my wife, Kelly. We had my daughter, Riley, and she was pregnant with my son, Sean. I was working with the Islanders, and I don't want to be disrespectful, but at that time, the Islanders, they were going through a state of flux.
Okay.
And some of the details of their business they weren't looking at as closely, or maybe they weren't paying attention to some of the things with regard to their people as maybe they should have. And in my contract, I had a 60-day window that I could, you know, check out other situations if, you know, that's what I wanted to do. I was pretty happy on Long Island. We had a house. We had a great neighborhood. I had a job. The pay wasn't great.
You're doing play-by-play for the Islanders.
Yeah.
That's a dream come true.
I was working in New York.
Yeah,
I mean, that was a really cool thing. And by the way, New Yorkers are great people. I hope nobody out there thinks that they're evil. I thought they were great people. Anyway, I find out that the job comes open in Chicago. And I'm thinking to myself, this is a joke. You know, a buddy of mine emails me. So I get right on the stick. I call Jim DeMaria, who at that time was working with the Blackhawks, and I ask him, I said, is this true? He says, yeah. I said, have you hired anybody? Nope. He says, it's wide open. So I said, well, you know what? Would you mind if I sent you my information? He says, absolutely. Get it off to me. So that day, I FedExed it to him, And the funny thing is the postscript at the end of the conversation was, you know, I thought you'd be calling me because I knew Jimmy Creese. Anyway, one thing led to another, and I was selected as the guy.
Let me ask you, John, how competitive, I mean, how many play-by-play announcers are there for specifically for hockey? I mean, it's not a sport where if you're a basketball play-by-play guy, you can be like, I'll do hockey too. I mean, it's such a different game to call, especially on the radio. Is it a competitive experience when trying to get a job in the NHL going play-by-play?
There's a fair level of competition for sure. I mean, if you think about it, you think about all of the leagues that are out there. All of the broadcasters in the lower minors, they all want to make it to the top.
Yeah,
everybody
right.
does. Why are you in it? To work in the minors the rest of your career? No, you want to get to the top. And that's how I felt. I had my aspirations were high, too. So I knew that it wasn't going to be just a gimme. No slam dunk involved here. I was going to have to be chosen over a lot of very good guys. And I was just very fortunate. I think I'll give you a little hint as to why I got it over some of the others. And maybe this is fair. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But I was on my demo that I sent to the Blackhawks. There was a fight that I called between a guy named Eric Goddard and a guy named Colton Orr. This was when I was working for the Islanders. Goddard played for the Islanders, Orr played for the Rangers. It was an Islanders-Rangers game, and the intensity of the game was high. So now they square off, and they have this fight, and I'm calling the punches and calling them as they're happening. It's not just a right and a left.
Boxing,
I used to box in my late teens and 20s.
Right.
I boxed for about 3 years. I got beaten up a lot, but I knew what the punches were, and so I was calling them. And so now I didn't think anything of it when I'm doing it, but I put it on my demo. I thought, hey, it's a demo. These guys have got to be able to know what I can do. Well, wouldn't you know it, one of the people at the table reviewing my demo was Bill Wirtz, who was a prize fighter back in his day. And so the way I understand it went was he listened to my demo, and then about 10 seconds after it was over, he held up his hand. He said, stop. He says, that's the guy I want.
That's the guy.
And I guess Jim DeMaria that's said, great. Are you sure, Mr. Wirtz? We've got three or four others. And he says, no, that's the guy I want. Whoever that guy is right there, get him.
He can call a good fight. Right?
And he didn't realize that the Blackhawks are in my heart and soul. And leading up to that. So
Can you imagine? Okay. All right. John Weideman's my guest tonight. He does play-by-play here on 720 WGN for the Blackhawks. We come back. Let's talk about calling hockey,
sure.
What it takes to do that job. Because, I mean, it is so different than baseball and some of the others. I mean, it is rapid fire, and you do it. I've never heard anyone do it like you.
Thank you.
John Weideman coming up. We'll talk more with John here on The Download. Stay with us.
The mighty Blackhawks. Take the attack, yeah, and we'll back you, Blackhawks. You're flying high now, so let's wrap it up. Let's go, you Hawks. Move on.
Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest at the big table tonight's going to be busy. He's got the Stanley Cup playoffs coming up. John Weideman calls the games here at 720 WGN. He's a play-by-play announcer. He's announced for the Flyers, for the Islanders, many other places, but he has been with the Blackhawks for 10 seasons. John, I am amazed. I can barely follow hockey on television. I don't know where the puck's at. I'm trying to figure it out. You are in a situation where you don't have the visuals. Yeah. What makes a great play-by-play call for you? I mean, what's your strategy when you're calling a game?
Well, I believe that if somebody is good enough to tune you in, then you have an obligation to give them as many details and as much excitement and entertainment as is possible in that time. Hmm. Having said that, when you're handling play-by-play, this is just me. It's a philosophical thing. So other play-by-play guys that may be listening that may say, no, you don't do it that way, or I do it differently. That's fine. It's a style thing. To me, you describe in detail where the puck is, okay, who's got it, and what the action is, okay? You're on radio. You have to remember it's the radio. It's not the TV. If it's the TV, you can get away with generalizing, with allowing dead air to flow through the broadcast. You can get away with a lot of stuff because the picture's right there, okay? And I respect all the play-by-play guys on the TV side because that's not easy either. But on the radio side, you have to move that puck around verbally, around the ice surface. And you can't generalize by saying, I don't generalize. I don't do this. I don't say the Blackhawks dump the puck in. Anybody can do that. Why should the team hire you because you say the Blackhawks dump the puck in?
Right.
No, you have to say, in my opinion, you have to say Duncan Keith carries the puck up the left wing to center ice. Now, when you say that, you know exactly
right.
where he is. He's at center ice on the left wing side. Sometimes I'll throw in front of the benches or in front of the penalty boxes because then the listener can visualize where the puck is and who has it. And then I say, then he dumps it down the left wing boards. Well, he didn't just dump it into the defensive zone.
Right.
He dumps it down the left wing boards. This will slide in behind the St. Louis net. You know exactly where the puck is
right, you do.
And where it's going.
That's amazing.
Right? And the thing is, Justin, that takes work. You have to be willing to exhaust yourself on the radio for your listeners.
When did you learn that that's the way you had to do it? I mean, you've been working now for a while. You've done play-by-play in different places. Was it right off the bat when you started calling games that you're like, I have to do that? Or did you learn as you sort of evolved
yeah.
as a radio play-by-play guy?
That's kind of it. When I first got into the business as a play-by-play guy, I was in Muskegon, Michigan, making $12,000 a year and all the cold pizza I could eat, you know, from the back of the bus. But no, I kind of evolved my play-by-play game, if you will. I don't mean to call it that, but I kind of evolved it. I listened to my work, and I thought to myself, what could I do better? And I still do it today. I listen to what I do, and I say, could I have done that better? I remember that situation. Could I have described it in detail? Sometimes there's just not enough time
right.
to squeeze it all in. You fall over your words. But I decided that what I was going to do was I was going to try and do it the way I would want to hear it. And I have high standards for myself. It doesn't sound like it sometimes, but I do. And so I tried to describe in detail where the puck was and who was doing what instead of generalizing.
Yeah.
Because it's radio. It's theater of the mind. You've got to be able to understand what's going on at the time.
It's so amazing.
Yeah.
And you also have, you know, you're paired with Troy Murray. I mean, you guys, you have to have a place as well
right.
for color for him to get in. How do you work? How's that chemistry work for you?
Okay. I have to be reminded sometimes to shut my mouth. But what I try and do is when you hear a whistle, you try and tell the listener what happened. Sometimes, you know, that's ambiguous. You're like, well, what just happened? You know, did the puck leave the ice surface? Was it offsides? Was it knocked out of the air by a high stick? What's going on? But you do your best to try and describe that. And then I give the time and the score a lot.
Yeah.
In other markets, they tell you don't do that.
Hmm.
And the reason that they do is because they don't want that guy out there that's just tuning in to get the time and the score
really?
Then tuning out.
Like
and so there's some strategy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But see, in our market, the Blackhawk fans, they love hearing everything. So I give them as much as I can. And then I shut up because in between whistles, there's about 18 seconds. And poor Troy, he has got to not only analyze what happened, but he has all of these drops to read. And we've got to get them in
right,
before
right.
the end of the night. So there's business involved in it, too. And it's, you know, you work through it. Troy will remind me during breaks sometimes, hey, I've got five or six more of these drops I've got to read. I'd say, okay, I'll hand it off to you quick.
How often are you curious about Troy's analysis? Meaning, you know, it's not just, you know, the format or the other, you know, like I say this, he says this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that there's something happens on the ice and you're like, Troy's going to have an interesting take on what that was.
I never question what he says. Troy Murray has been in every conceivable situation on the ice surface. So you can't think of one he hasn't been in. He's won a Stanley Cup as a player. He is a guy that knows the game through and through. Combined with that, he has a great passion for this game and for the Chicago Blackhawks. So when Troy speaks, take it to the bank because he knows what he's talking about.
John Weideman's my guest tonight here on The Download. Tomorrow night, the Stanley Cup playoffs begin. Very excited about this.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. And we'll get the news with Rob. When we come back, I got to talk to you about the calls. I mean, the Stanley Cup calls are infamous at this point. We'll talk about the one where it did it go in or did it not against Philly. John Wyden is my guest tonight on The Download. Stay with us.
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest tonight at the big table is going to be busy. John Weideman, play-by-play announcer for the Chicago Blackhawks here on 720 WGN. We'll get all that out. You have to travel with the team. This is, you know, for you, I mean, you're like a player in the sense that this schedule is rigorous. I mean, you're in, you know, I'm just trying to set this interview up. It was, well, I'm going to be in Calgary. Try to catch me on the plane coming up, you know, to Winnipeg. Like, so talk about, you know,
yeah.
like that. I mean, you are living a hockey schedule.
Yeah.
Just like the players.
Yeah. My schedule is basically what the players is, with the exception that, you know, when they have activities that are done away from the rink, I'm not involved in it. I just go along with the team. I go to the team hotels. I ride the buses to and from the arena, to and from the plane to the hotel, and from the rink to the hotel to the plane, like that. But I try and stay out of the way. Mm-hmm. I try and give the boys as much space as they need. If they want to talk to me, I'm always available there for them. But as far as the schedule is concerned, yeah, it's the same commitment.
What's your relationship like with the players? I mean, is that a broadcast rule where you just kind of stay clear of them and try to be objective in some form? Or are you friends and fraternized with the team?
Well, I would characterize my relationship with the players as being more on the business-like side, but personable a little bit as well. I always leave myself available in case they want to talk to me. I'm not one of these guys that feels like I've got to go over and ingratiate myself right. in some way so that I can walk around and say, oh, yeah, Johnny Taves and I, best friend. No. Johnny's got his life. I've got mine. I respect what he does, and I like to think he respects what I do. If he ever needs me, I'm available to him. And that goes for all the boys and really for anybody in the whole group. But I know my place, and I love what I do. I'm not going to jeopardize it by trying to, you know, I'm going to go hang with Duncan Keith and Rhett Seabrook tonight. Yeah, we're going over this place and going over that place. And that's just, you know, that's not me.
Thing.
I'm a married guy with kids, and I know my place.
Okay, so let's talk about this team. I mean, obviously, in your tenure being there, you've seen a shift in the Blackhawks. This mm-hmm. is a well-documented story from, you know, new management that came in and Rocky and John McDonough. But there has really been a movement in this town to, and a lot of it has to do with winning, mm-hmm. but the Chicago Blackhawks have moved up the ladder, if you will, for sports in Chicago. I mean, the Blackhawks are really at sure. the top because they continue this word, this D word, dynasty. Do you believe this is a dynasty?
I think that they are in the midst of it. I do. And you were talking about the team being as well recognized and where it is on the sports ladder here in this town. That credit goes to Rocky Wirtz, John McDonough, Jay Blunk, throw Stan Bowman in there, Norm McIver, the guys on the hockey ops side. It starts at the top. They set the bar pretty high, and they have standards that they want everybody to live up to. They know that being a member of the Chicago Blackhawks organization, that's special. Mm-hmm. That's not just for everybody. You have to be somebody that can not only serve the organization the right way, but you also have to maintain a level of class yourself, and you have to get it. You have to understand what this is about.
Is that felt around the league? I mean, you go, you tour, you do places.
Yeah.
People have respect for the Chicago Blackhawks and the organization when the Blackhawks come to town?
They do now, I can tell you that. Everywhere we go, you know, you hear some people from other organizations sometimes, they get a little smug and they say,
Nashville.
Oh, well, we don't do it the Blackhawk
right,
way.
Right.
And I'm so tempted at that point to say, yeah, and you know what? Look yeah. at your record. Look where you are. But I don't do that because right. I don't want to lord that over anybody. But it's nice. It's nice when people recognize you for the way you conduct yourself as an organization. I mean, this organization is a class organization. They do it right, and they stand for winning. It's all about winning. And that's great. I mean, that's great for the fans, the people that invest their hearts and their souls, and they invest themselves into the Blackhawks brand. This team is about winning. It's not about just putting on the uniform, the sweater, and going out there and say, well, we'll do what we can. Gosh, I hope we can win around. No, it's about winning Stanley Cups now. And for Blackhawk fans, Justin, this is the greatest yeah. time in the history of this organization.
That's unbelievable. And you've been a part of, three of the calls. I mean, the famous one in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
When you weren't sure if the puck went in. We all didn't know if what happened. Patrick Kane celebrating, but we don't know where the puck went.
Yeah.
You know, as a broadcaster, and you know that moment is coming, that there are three games on, and all the Blackhawks have to do in that situation is score a goal, and it's over, and the call is there.
Drop to the Kane on the left half boards. Here's Kane now, juking his way to the right, lower left corner. Should he score? Oh, no, that's turned wide by Layton. Loose puck in the crease, and now it's in the net. They score!
They score!
The Hawks win the Stanley Cup! The Hawks win the Stanley Cup. Layton is down on his knees in the goal crease. And that one looked like it slid past him into the net. They're going to go and take a look. They're going to take a look upstairs. But everybody on the ice, nobody knew where the puck was. Layton froze in the goal crease. Let's see what we have here.
It's in the back of the net.
It's in the back of the net. The Hawks have won the Stanley Cup. Blackhawk fans around the world, you've endured 49 years of frustration. But your patience has finally paid off. Lord Stanley's new address is Sweet Home Chicago. The Chicago Blackhawks have won the Stanley Cup.
They've won the Stanley Cup. It's over. They did it.
Do you prepare what you're going to say? Do you know what you're going to say on the fact that, you know, like, it's going to live forever? The idea that the call is going to say, the Stanley Cup is coming back to Chicago. Lord Stanley's bringing his cup back to Chicago. What do you think? Do you prepare for that?
You know, I do think about it a little bit, but I try not to let that consume me, because if you do that, then you get a little distracted from, you know,
what's
what your
happening.
Job
right,
is.
Right.
I think spontaneity works better than anything, because I think the listener can hear if it's spontaneous or if it's contrived. That's what I think. And so I try and have some thoughts in my mind in case that moment comes along. How will I say this? How will I say that? So, yeah, I do think about it a little bit, but I try and let the moment live in itself. As an example, you know, you mentioned Philadelphia 2010. That was confusing for all of the broadcasters.
Yeah, right.
I heard every guy's call on YouTube or wherever, and I thought to myself, wow, I didn't really mess it up as bad as they did, you know, like that. But you know, just the experience of being able to do that and being a part of that was just more than I could ever try and describe. It was an unbelievable moment. The June 15th Stanley Cup here, I thought about the history involved, and I remember talking to John McDonough on the plane on the way back from Tampa. I talked to Jay Blunk. I said, is there something you guys want me to focus on if that moment comes? Because we didn't even know. It was going to game six, could have won it, might have lost it. We didn't know. But I said, if that moment arrives, and John was great. He says, I'm going to leave it up to you. He says, you're the artiste, and I'll leave it to you. So I thought about the history of the organization. I thought about how special it would be to win it in Chicago, and I just did my best to try and put that together. I think it came out okay.
It did. What a lot of people recognize, I mean, obviously in the television side, you got Pat and Eddie. They do, you know, they do the first round. And after the first round, it turns into NBC. NBC takes over. You have the more of the Jeremy Roenick train. But you guys on the radio side, you continue all the way through. I mean, you have. I mean, this job is not over until it's over for you guys. Do you like that?
I love it.
You love it?
I love it. I want to be there for every single game. I love to work. Let's put it that way. When I was younger, I loved to play. But now I'm older. I've got responsibilities and obligations. I love to work. I enjoy my work. I enjoy being connected to the Blackhawks in that unique way, the Blackhawks fans in that unique way. Because, you know, as the play-by-play guy, they're counting on you to bring them the moments of the game. And I'm going to tell it from the Blackhawks side. You know, I am going to be objective, but I'm not going to be one of these guys that gets crazy and excited for the other team's goal. No, truthfully, when the other team scores, I'm bummed out. But when the Blackhawks score, you know, and I don't care. People can call me a homer. I don't care. I'll say
thank
you.
Well, isn't that part of it? I mean, there's this backlash towards homerism. You see it a lot in baseball. Mm-hmm. Where it's, oh, that's a homer broadcast. But isn't that kind of the point? I mean, the idea that you're almost like a facilitator for the fan.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're right. And the truth is, Justin, you can't go too far the other way. Like, if you get beaten in a game on home ice 9-0 and the team comes out and just doesn't play very well, you can't sit there on the air and lie to the listeners and say, this is one of the best performances of the year. I don't know why they lost 9-0, because then you have no credibility. But, you know, if you address it and say, Blackhawks have had better nights, they really need to pick it up or whatever, you know, then you have some credibility with your fan base. But if they win 9-0, we're going to have some fun. That's how I look at it. I mean, life is precious. We don't know how long we're going to be here on this earth. And so long as I have this position and the Blackhawk fans are good enough to listen, I'm going to try and treat them to a great broadcast.
Wow. All right. So you watch Blackhawks hockey and have to describe in detail every movement. Mm-hmm. This squad, this 2016 squad, 2015-2016 squad, has been up. It's been down. It's broken records. Mm-hmm. There were times in the middle of the season, in the winter, we're like, they might as well not even play the Stanley Cup. This team is now they're on a – it's been up and down. And from you watching the Blackhawks play every single night and being at the skate around to all the stuff that you do, can you feel when the team's got it, or do you automatically know right away in a game that they don't?
I don't ever know that they don't until I see like the first probably 10 minutes of the game. Then I start to get a feel for what's going on. Sometimes, you know, they're human.
Right.
Let's face it. They're flesh and blood just like the rest of us. So they have feelings. They have emotions. They have times when, you know, their energy levels are up. They have times when their energy level, they're fighting to get it to that point. So, you know, they're going to go through those kinds of peaks and valleys during an 82-game season. However, once the playoffs begin, they understand what's involved. And they may not win every game, but they're going to leave it out there. I have yet to see a playoff game with this team where they didn't leave it all out there. And that's a lot of playoff games. That goes back to 2009 all the way through to last year. I can't count all those up right now, but I have not seen a game where they didn't show up for a playoff game. So I think that's what the listeners, wow, Hawks fans can expect.
That gives you a little bit of chills. He's saying that, John. That's good. That's good. All right. John Weiderman is my guest tonight at the big table. He will be calling the game here on 720 WGN tomorrow night, game one. Do you get nervous for this kind of thing?
Not anymore. I used to. Because I know that the intensity level in the playoffs was ratcheted up, and I thought to myself, okay, I've got to be ready. I've really got to make sure that I'm on top of my preparation and everything. I do that anyway. I hold myself to a pretty high standard anyway with that. But where I am now is I've done enough of these games that I kind of know what's coming. And so what I hold myself to now is describing in detail as much as is possible at a higher level of intensity, because it's the playoffs. There's a higher level of intensity on the ice. There needs to be a higher level of intensity in the broadcast booth. But at the same time, you've got to be sensitive to the sponsorships. You've got to be sensitive to, you know, the people around you and their obligations. So we work it out. I think Troy, myself, and Judd Surratt, I think we all look forward to the playoffs, and we're going to give it everything we've got, just like the players. And when it's all over, it's over.
I love it. John Weiderman, good luck. We'll be listening to you tomorrow. John, thanks for being my guest tonight.
It was my pleasure, Justin. Let's do this again.